I find this scientifically fascinating.
You're listening to KUCI Irvine.
Disengage this computer now.
Broadcasting at 88.9 FM.
Hello, computer.
And on the web at KUCI.org.
The most reliable computer ever made.
And streaming through iTunes.
Don't expect any mercy during the Great Robot Wars.
Anteater Radio brought to you by machines. Returning to normal broadcast in 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Real People of Orange County, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin. This show is a fun and informative look inside the lives of Orange County's best and brightest. These are people who serve their community in a meaningful capacity on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Well, welcome back. It seems like it's been forever since I've been live in the studio. And so I thank you for joining me each and every week here at the 4 o'clock hour during the public affairs block here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're really thankful that you continue to join us. It's funny, I'm finding the show's getting a lot of support. And I wasn't expecting that. In fact, I was kind of shocked y'all are listening. But getting the phone calls that you're making during the show or after the show, and the emails for people that have shown support. If I haven't gotten back to you yet, I was on vacation, so I will soon. But I sure appreciate it. It's very gratifying when you put yourself out there in the world and you get a little back. So thank you for being a part of the show for as long as we've been doing this, going on almost 3 years now. And frankly, I can't believe it. I never stay in any one place for very long. I'm shocked I'm still married, actually. I think all of us are that, you know, never kept boyfriends for longer than a month or two. So that, you know, I don't know, there's something about the kids. They really make you stay stuck together. And as much as fun as I'm having in my marriage, it really is the children that are the glue, not the parents. But, you know, that might actually help me segue into today's segment. One of the things that I learned by being a parent is a lot of unexpected things, as you might well suspect. But some of the things they don't tell you about is the lengths that with which you'll go to do right by your children. And I've had a lot of experiences trying to get my kids schooled in the years. And when you grew up, you, me, most of us that are listening, school was easy. You got up, you walked down the street, and you went to the school that was in your neighborhood. And it just isn't like that anymore. You know, I thought I would move to a nice neighborhood and I'd plant myself there for as long as I needed to while my kids were being schooled. And what happened is nothing like that. I had to seek out educational choices for all the schools that each child needed as they were growing and developing. And I was really shocked by that because it was not like that for me. I had this lovely little school district. I remember my parents moving at a foundational time in my schooling so that they could get their child into the best school district in the area. And that was the best they could do for me then. And right now we have so many choices at our feet. I kind of think it's overwhelming. And if you're in that struggle, this would be a really great show for you to listen to today because we're going to talk about how to help you make those decisions. We're going to let you know that you actually have a choice in making those decisions, which is probably the most important part of this equation. But as we all know, with choice comes the complication of making the right choice. And you can't do that alone. A lot of people really try, I've noticed. Many of the best decisions I've made weren't decisions I made at all. I just followed somebody that did a little more research than me, and I found my way into their good choices. So we learn a lot by sharing. We learn a lot by doing research and bringing others along with us if we've found a good solution that works. Our families are so near and dear to us. And so today it's with great pleasure that I bring in the founder of Parents Advocate League and another lady that works with her too. So I have Julie Collier and Romney Miller with us today. And Parents Advocate League, we're going to find out a little bit more about them during the show. But Julie's going to tell us her personal story, which led her to develop Parents Advocate League. But Let me just start with a little bio info on Julie and Romney. Julie Collier is a parent, a credentialed educator, and a longtime proponent of parental choice and responsible public education reform. That is a heavy topic. We are going to dig into that a little bit during this hour, so I hope you'll join us. In 2006, she was discouraged by the state of the public school system, so she created the Parents Advocate League, which is a grassroots, parent-empowered organization dedicated to student-focused educational policy. That's going to be a really important part of this interview because we all think it should be about the students, but as you find as a parent, it isn't always about the students, and you start to realize that things are a little off kilter, and it's not all right in River City. So we're gonna dig a little bit into that during this hour as well. She wanted to provide a resource and a way to encourage parents to be leaders in their children's education. Many of us that have had to make these decisions have done so reluctantly. None of us wanted to be in a situation where we had to make a complex choice for our child. We really just wanted this to roll out easily. We didn't want to fight a good fight. We just wanted to actually send our kids off for 6 hours a day and have a little free time. I mean, why was that such a tough request? But as it turns out, those 6 hours are challenging because the one you love might be being tormented by a system that isn't serving them well. So we're going to talk about that today. So in 2011, with great dedication to help all students, she helped found a charter school in Orange County. And you may not know it, but there's several here. So that's going to be a good way for us to give you some new information. As executive director of Parents Advocate League, she continues to dedicate herself to empowering parents in an effort to help all students achieve academic success. Now, you do think that when you send your kid off to school that they're going to be watchful of your child and they're going to make sure your child gets an education, and you would be sad to find out that that isn't the case. You can send your child there and you realize that a good 40% of the kids aren't going to need any help, and those are the ones that are getting the good education because the system is really set up to, you know, handle the kids down the middle. The ones at the very top and the ones at the very bottom often aren't served in the way they need to be. Also during the hour, Romney Miller is going to be with us, and she is a native Californian who grew up in Palm Desert and went to college at the University of California, Riverside. I mentioned that because I grew up in Riverside. Woot, woot. So, big fan of UCR. She worked as, oops, did I say that on KUCI? Oh, I take it all back, UCI, but you know what? You can respect your sister school. She worked as a bilingual elementary school teacher in El Monte and in Orange County, and then went back to the desert to teach a charter school. So we're seeing the theme of that charter school coming into today's interview. And Romney has served two charter schools in the roles of teacher, mentor, parent, advisor, consultant, and program quality reviewer to the Riverside County Board of Education. So she's seen it from all sides as well. She completed her MAE, Master's in Education, in 2006 with an emphasis in administration and leadership, and she has also dedicated herself to improving academic achievement for students in public education for over 4 years. So it's with great pleasure that I welcome you two ladies, Julie Collier and Romney Miller.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so glad you're here. So we'll say hi again because the mic was not off. I just got through telling him what a great engineer I was now, and I've just done nothing but bungle it. Heather, where are you?
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
I'm happy you could make it. As I know it was an effort for you two, and so these are really big topics to discuss. And if you're one of those parents that's going, really, honestly, how big? Let me just tell you how lucky you are that you don't know anything about how difficult this challenge is and this road is for so many parents. But so we're going to speak to those people that might have had some challenges and want to know a way to improve their child's education. So, Julie, I think we should start with your personal story and what led you down this path to a huge crusade.
Yes, thank you. So as a former educator, I saw what was going on from the inside. I tried to make my own changes and improvements within my classroom, but I was also bound by policies that kind of kept me in a certain position. And once my older son started public school, I was really excited. I couldn't wait for what was about to come. I value the public school system. I noticed he was having a hard time reading, and he ended up having a situation where his teacher just said, kind of gave up on him. She couldn't help him. And I was stuck trying to find a way to help inspire and motivate and help my own child learn outside of going to class every day. And I knew that even as an educator, I thought I had all the answers. Unfortunately, even as an educator, I didn't have all the answers. So I knew that if I was having a hard time as an educator and a parent, there are other parents out there having a difficult time just as well. So I finally decided to start Parents Advocate League to be kind of a resource for parents, a way for them to find out information, to help their own children, to be a voice and an advocate for their own children, and at the same time join a coalition of parents through Parents Advocate League to help advocate for much improvement in education throughout our state. So it's just kind of taken a life of its own. It keeps growing, and I was not sure where this would lead me, but I meet the most incredible people. Every parent that I meet has their own personal story of why they've joined Parents Advocate League. They have their own personal story of failures and success, and we work together to try to find a solution and a way to help everyone and be that resource. So we just keep going. It's just been an incredible journey, and I'm so thankful I started it.
That's wonderful. Romney, you want to tell us your personal story that led you to join Julie in her crusade?
Well, I moved to Orange County, gosh, I think it's been about 7 years ago. And the reason my family decided to move to Orange County was because of the wonderful schools, of course. So, you know, the beaches don't hurt either. So we moved out here, and we strategically purchased our home because we thought, okay, I looked on the computer, went to greatschools.org and really researched, okay, what is the best elementary school? What's the best middle school? What's the best high school? And we're going to purchase this home to ensure that my kids get the quality education that I want them to have. And I know many parents do this. Soon after we purchased this home, we found out that the neighborhood school that my son was attending was closing because of low enrollment. So I couldn't believe this was happening. So a group of us got together, and I, you know, as you mentioned in my bio, I had taught at a charter school before. So a group of us got together and thought, why don't we turn this school into a charter school? It's such a high performing school and families love it. Let's do this. And so we wrote a charter and got together and all this passion and submitted it to the district, and they denied us. It was a really sad situation. So we got back on the computer and started plugging away, trying to fix this charter, so to resubmit it. And while we were doing that, we were contacted by a group that also wanted to start a charter school, and they knew what they were doing much more than I did. So we said, great, we'll join you in your efforts. So that's what we did. And we went to the city council to try to get the city council support of starting a charter school in our area. And that's where I met Julie. Julie was at the city council because the city was having difficulties with the school district. There was a strike. There were some busing issues. At that time, there were other issues. So Julie was there.
Well, they were looking to take over the school district and turn it into a city school district. That's the city of Mission Viejo. They were considering that at the time.
Now, were you there as a Parent Advocate League executive director, or were you there as a parent when you two met?
Both.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had never met Julie before. Mm-hmm. So Julie was in the audience, and that's when, you know, that we kind of looked at each other and thought, oh, we have common goals here. We want to do something about, you know, education in our area. So, so they closed our school, and my kids went to a different neighborhood school that was a high performing neighborhood school. And I was just so disappointed to find out, even though it was high performing, it wasn't a good fit for my kid.
It comes down to that a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Like, you could have three kids and they really have three different fits of schools, don't they?
It's so true. And so even though we researched and purchased this home for these great schools, lo and behold, it wasn't a fit for my kids. So we continued on this path to open a charter school, and eventually it happened, and we were able to be the parent group that that was really involved in opening the school in Orange County. And so now we have a school for our kids. It is a good fit for our kids. But parent advocate league did not end there. We thought, well, our kids go to this school, but it has a waiting list for 1,000 people. There are other parents who don't have a lot of choices. And so we want to continue to encourage parents to really use their voice to say, this is what I need for my child.
So it comes down to that really important thing we mentioned initially was the choice. Choice is kind of a new thing for this country. There was, you know, they were going to give vouchers to parents and say, here, you could go pick the school you wanted to kind of level the playing field. What came down to the really most important elements about having choice?
Well, choice in education really kind of started in the 90s. And it was supported by President Clinton, and the Center for Ed Reform kind of got the ball rolling back in D.C. on a nationwide level. And, excuse me, sorry about that. Anyway, so vouchers kind of were intertwined with that a little bit, but people didn't like that idea. It became too political. So it was easier to go for a charter school movement to offer a choice for parents that might need it. But it's not been easy. Do you want to talk about some of the...
You mean it's not been an easy road to hoe for the charter school movement?
Absolutely not. There were laws that were created in different states, but it's not been easy to implement them, and they make it fairly difficult for parents or chartering organizations that want to start a charter school. You have to go through lots of hoops, lots of laws you've got to follow to a T, or your charter can be denied. And even once you get a charter, unlike a traditional school, a charter has to be renewed and approved by a chartering school district. So they really scrutinize a charter school every time it's up for renewal. Unlike a traditional public school, and by the way, charter schools are public schools. Unlike a traditional public school, once they're open, they can fail kids can be successful. It doesn't matter, but it's very hard to shut down a poor performing school.
Interesting, because, I want to make sure you get a chance to talk about that, since you know a bit about that. Charter schools are tuition free. That's really important to mention. Like you said, they are public schools.
Well, charter schools in California, the way the law is that local school districts are the first step in applying for a charter, and they're oftentimes the local authorizing agency. The problem with that is that oftentimes it is seen as competition for funding. So students become dollar signs rather than students that they're supposed to educate, and that they want we all say we want the best for these kids, but it becomes competition for funding between a charter school and a district school because the money follows the student.
It follows the student, so it becomes a huge opportunity cost for the district school. And so right there, they're set up for political failure because there's not the support that you need to make it work. Plus, charter schools, from what I understand, are much more underfunded in comparison. Is that true?
It was true that they are underfunded per pupil. However, the new local control funding, they're funded a little bit more, not much. They're still...
Certainly not equitable then.
Definitely. We still need to work on that.
Okay.
However, charter schools do a lot of fundraising like most schools do. Because parents have a choice, though, in the school that they send their children to, they do tend to fundraise more because they're so excited about being able to choose their school that they're really more bought in. And so you'll find that parents tend to donate more, not because they have more resources, but because they value this choice.
And also, charter schools do not have the typical overhead that a traditional public school district would have with tons of admin, that sort of thing. So when parents are more willing to donate because they can see the benefits right away and how it affects their child directly in the classroom.
So tell me what having true choice in schooling and education really means.
Well, really, parents would like to be able to choose their neighborhood school, maybe a school that is in their same district but not in their neighborhood, perhaps a school that is outside of their district, maybe closer to work or closer to grandma's house for daycare. Some families would like to homeschool. That may not be an option for other families. Private school is an option. I mean, we really believe that parents should be able to choose, in all sense of the word, really choose where their children go to school to find the best fit for their unique child.
So homeschooling's become a really big, interesting part of this equation. What is road schooling?
Oh, that's fun. Well, road schooling, I met a mom who said, you know what, I've just decided that we have an RV, and I've been reading blogs about these parents that do this. They take their kids and they're homeschooling their children, and they do it on the road, and they get in the RV and they are studying history on the East Coast. They're studying the Civil War, where it actually happened. And they're doing these trips and actually doing like live history field trips, essentially. And they're writing about it and they're learning about it in real time, and they are doing the math and the science and all of that, but they're doing it together as a family while they're on the road. And I thought it was such an interesting, fabulous idea. I'm not brave enough to do it myself, mm-hmm. but I just thought, wow, I'm really excited to hear about her year when she's going to do it for a year with her girls and see how it goes. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating.
I did do a fair amount of traveling. At one point, we were out on the road, if you will, and met a lot of families doing that. And what a great context to take your child to the place that, you know, you're reading the chapter about at the time you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Talk about relevance. So we've talked a little bit about what true choice means, but, you know, under the traditional school district paradigm, there's a lot of programs that exist that I'm starting to see are starting to make it look like you get more choice within that school system. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, there are some options within, you know, a traditional public school. There's GATE, or if your child qualifies for special services, they usually have that. A lot of times traditional public schools will boast that they offer choice within their school district by going, you can choose which schools you can attend within your school district. However, that doesn't always pan out, because what happens is some of the better high achieving schools, or if they have a magnet program at a particular school, such as a math focus or a science focus, those traditional public schools tend to fill up. And that means you have less of a chance to send your child to a school of your choice within your own school district. In addition, there are a lot of school districts that have flat out said, we will not allow children to go to other school districts outside of our district. We just won't approve that. So you're kind of stuck either in your neighborhood school or within your district if you don't want to be stuck within your district. So you're just kind of left to kind of try to make things work where you are. And that doesn't really offer full choice. Now, the charter school movement, that's what it does. It ends up offering a choice to parents within a school district. Okay, if your child is not succeeding in your neighborhood school, maybe other kids are, but your child is not, they can have another option to go to a charter school.
The local school district, we've been in school board meetings where they say we do not let students leave our district because we see it as a loss of ADA, the average daily attendance, which again is those dollar
signs.
That's
the dollar signs. What is the ADA for California? Is it the same in all school districts, or does it change per school district?
It's the same in school districts. Well, there's the local control funding has changed how much money schools get now, but it's different. California has the least amount of
wasn't
education
it like $45 or something along those lines?
It was one of the lowest.
It was about $5,400 per student.
Oh, this is a for a year.
Yeah,
not
per
the
year.
Daily rate.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't remember the daily rate.
Well, and it's different depending on the
now
grade level.
Yeah, with the new local control funding, also known as LCFF, it is very different. They base it on free and reduced lunch, students that qualify free and reduced lunch.
That's right.
So if you have a school that is 50% or more free and reduced lunch, those students get a lot more resource, a lot more money to help educate them and make sure they're right on track.
Make sure they have the services needed.
Exactly.
It's interesting. So the game is changing even as you're
speaking.
Yeah.
Also, another point I want to make is Gloria Romero's Open Enrollment Act that was passed. This was several years ago. One of the things that this act discusses, or this act provides, is if your child's school qualifies as a low performing school based on state standards, your child, you should get a letter from your school stating that your school has qualified for poor performing school based on the state standards. And you have an option. You can go to a different school within your school district. What ends up happening, however, is that a lot of school board administrators decide that the state will allow you to apply for a waiver, which means a school board usually votes on it, which means that this school district can get a waiver that says, you know, please accept that we are not really a low performing school. We don't want to, you know, send children outside of these schools, and the state can say yes or no. In most cases, they do go by what the district has asked them.
So are you saying that it's a little bit slanted by the district's request then, and not so much the parents that are wanting to make the change?
Well, I will say that it gives districts an option to not have to necessarily abide by the meaning of that policy.
So we'll call that a loophole? Would that be fair to say?
So what happens is parents never get a letter stating that their school is low performing, and they don't even know that they have the option to go to a different school. So it really, this bill that was supposed to really offer choice to those families that are in the lowest performing schools actually doesn't really happen. And so it's too bad.
It's an important point. So we're, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to two ladies from PAL, Parents Advocate League. And you can go to their website if you have further interest by going to Parents, that's plural on Parents, Advocate, that's singular, and League, that's also singular, .org. And it's such an important point you just brought up, how you've just made an interpretation of what's happening that others aren't actually going to find out on their own. We cannot expect people to find their way to these answers on their own, so you almost need somebody advocating for you.
It's interesting you say that, because we were in a school board meeting where we heard them say, we're going to apply for the waiver to not inform parents of their right to go to another school. And then we spoke at the county board meeting and told them of this, and they were aghast. They had no idea that this happened. So really, decision makers all the way up, even in Sacramento, have no idea that the reality that parents face is that we really aren't offered the choices that they think we are offered. So they'll boast and say, oh, we offer so many choices.
Oh, we passed this policy, and so it should just be implementing with, you know, seamless and flawless, you know, rollout. Well, so, okay, so if these are hot buttons for you, you can go to parentsadvocateleague.org and learn a little bit about what PAL, I like the acronym PAL, is doing for you and on behalf of you. In your school districts locally or even on the state level. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But what would help this organization is members, right? And your members pay nothing. They just go and simply join. And
it's
so
free.
You're really building a coalition, aren't you?
We definitely are. And by the way, we call our members PALs.
Of course
so,
you do.
Yes. So we are PALs working together in students' best interests. And one of the other things we do is we join other organizations throughout the state of California that support students. So we really are coalition building and working towards students' best interests.
And so I have in the studio Julie Collier and Romney Miller, both working with PAL. Julie's the executive director and founder of PAL. And you're listening to Real People OC on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We are at the halfway mark in our hour, and we're learning a lot about
why you might want to even have a choice in the schools that you choose for your children. We're going to take the conversation to the next place, which is an issue of accountability. And there's a lot of interesting things happening with that right now. One of the hot buttons that you might have heard through just listening to the news is the concept of teacher tenure. And we won't dig a lot deeper into that just because we may not have enough time. But the Vergara decision is one such decision that was just recently made where students took, is it a school board? Or maybe you can tell us about the Vergara decision and why that's so groundbreaking right now for your cause.
It absolutely is groundbreaking, and it's causing quite a stir in America, quite honestly. This is 9 brave students that decided to sue the state of California, saying they are not given a quality education because teachers are fired based on how long they've been teaching, not what kind of quality of teaching they provide students.
So they could be giving a less than quality output in their students, whether we would evaluate that through test scores or student dropout. I'm not sure. There's lots of different ways to evaluate that. But you know it when you've got a teacher that isn't good, right?
Oh, you know. The kids know, most importantly. They know right away. And parents don't always like to hear what their kids have to say about their teacher. They think, they're just complaining, their kids. But I would encourage parents to really sit down and have an honest conversation with their children. If their children are coming home, you know, kind of complaining, it's too noisy in the classroom, or I feel like I can't learn, or just kind of delve in a little bit deeper and find out what's going on and communicate with your child's teacher and communicate with your child's principal, just kind of work together. But going back to the Vergara case, it is an incredibly huge case. And also joining in the state of California against the 9 brave Vergara students is the California Teachers Association is also a defendant in the case.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, Romney, to that decision?
Well, it was interesting. Julie was there the opening day of the trial, and you heard something interesting.
Yes. I was there the opening day, and the defense actually said, this was incredible to me, they actually said, the state of California is only required to provide an education. We are not required to provide a quality education. I just about fell over when I heard that.
Oh, that's so painful.
Painful, yes.
Yeah,
and we know that an effective classroom teacher, research has shown a quality, effective classroom teacher is the number one indicator of student success. So it is so important that our teachers are of quality and that every teacher really is providing the best education that they can to every student.
Right. I'll never forget when I first had my exposures, when my first child was in kindergarten, and the teacher had had an injury, and she had been there for a long time, and you could tell she was kind of at the end of her career. She was winding down, maybe, and probably they should have asked her to leave earlier, but she didn't. And lovely lady, but she did talk about her hurt leg and hip the whole year to the parents, and never did we ever get a discussion about, you know, what our kid was doing or whatnot. Anyway, I didn't think much of it because honestly, I didn't know what to expect in kindergarten. But at the end of the year, she handed each student a stack of books and she said, here, let them read these over the summer. And I turned to one of the moms who was a lot more informed than I was at the time. And she goes, she didn't even bother to get to these through the year. So she's giving them to them now. And I thought, oh my gosh, where was the oversight? Where was the concern? Where was the peer review? Where was any stopgap measure that could have prevented that from happening? And sure enough, there wasn't anything. And she went on to teach for several more years at that school. And like I said, a lovely lady, but should have recused herself from education at a reasonable time. But that's that tenure thing that,
tenured teachers that have a certain number of years under their belt are only evaluated once every 5 years. So that's twice a decade that they're evaluated. So a long time can go by before anyone notices that the teacher is handing the parents the books at the end of the year and saying, here, you teach what I wasn't able to get to.
Right.
And not every tenured teacher is a bad teacher. Most of them are fantastic. However, the problem falls on the fact that what does a parent do when they're stuck with a teacher that's failing their child, whether they're tenured or brand new or a couple years into it? What recourse does a parent have? And that's the problem going on with education, is that parents are very much an underutilized voice in education, and we need to change that. We all need to work together as parents. We need to make sure that we're loud. We have to start being uncomfortable when it comes to educating our children. We have to get loud. We have to stop worrying about if we're hurting someone's feelings or if someone's going to get mad at us. I want to just tell parents out there, you're not there to make friends at school. You are there to ensure that your child is getting a quality education. And if that is not happening, you have to be uncomfortable, get loud, do something about it.
I love the get loud. It's huge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And I bet you didn't want to go down this road, did you?
Absolutely not. I felt like I was almost failing my profession as an educator as well when I started to get loud. But I started looking at it. I have to focus on my child, and my child is not learning. And if my child's not learning, other children are not learning. And what I found out when I did get loud after my son was having a hard time, other parents were telling me, yeah, Julie, you know, my child had a hard time in that class too. And I said, did you tell anyone? And the answer was, no, we just didn't want to make anyone upset. And, you know, we wanted to make sure we got our child into a good teacher the next year. We don't want to rock the boat. But it really bothered me because my child ended up suffering. And, you know, it's not right if you stay quiet just to benefit what you think is benefiting your child, because it's really not benefiting your child, and it's not helping the children that will follow your child. It's your obligation to speak up.
And it's so against so many people's nature to do so. I'm unfortunately not one of those people. It blurts right out whether it needs to or not sometimes. But maybe that's why I have the radio show.
Well, yeah, holding your teachers accountable, you know, you had that experience in kindergarten. But really, the administrator should be accountable. So if parents were talking to the administrator saying, you know, your teacher really needs some more support, that would be helpful. Hold your administrator accountable. If that's not working, you need to hold your school board members accountable for the decisions that they make. And then at the state level, decisions are made all the time. Every year, new bills are being introduced that really affect your child. So we as parents need to be aware of what bills are coming and how do we even know about that? How do we know what's happening? Unless we have to really be so adamant about staying informed. And I know busy parents don't really want to do that sometimes, but that's what we have to do to make the changes.
No, this is a really overwhelming time of life, and it's a very difficult time to be on top of everything. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Real People OC, and I'm your host, Kimberly Martin, and we have with us Julie Collier and Romney Miller of ParentsAdvocateLeague.org. That's PAL. You can follow them on Twitter by going to Twitter at PALS. That's plural, P-A-L-S, for the number 4 students, PALS for students. Likewise, if you wanted to look a little bit more about the discussion they're having one on Facebook at facebook.com/Parents Advocate League. PALS. So definitely, if this is a hot button for you, you have a resource now that you can look to and maybe get some insight into how to handle a problem. Do you get down to the nitty-gritty with people that are your members? Do they come to you a lot for personal advice?
Absolutely. We try to help them with the current policies that are in place or the board policies, or helping them as best as they can within maybe an IEP or an SST situation.
Let's tell the listeners what that is. An IEP is an individualized education plan.
Yes, and some children qualify that if they have particular needs that need to be met. And an SST is more of a mild, let's get together with a student, it's called a student study team, and they kind of analyze how your child is learning, and maybe they don't have, your child doesn't have special needs, but they have to maybe slow down a little bit, or maybe they need more individualized or gate learning materials to help them succeed a little further. So
okay. I want to, we've got a lot of time where we can talk about accountability some more, but before we get down that road too far, on the parent engagement side, I want to talk about what it takes to join PAL. It's easy, right? You text join PAL to 22828. Talk to me about what a member would get. Let's tell them again how to join.
If you go to our Parents Advocate League .org website, you can easily just click on the join button and enter your email. You get a newsletter that informs parents about what is happening at the state level and at the local level, throughout your county, throughout the state, that we really need to be focused on. Because really, in order to be an advocate for your kids, the first step is awareness. So if
so well said.
If we want to help our kids, we can't help if we're in the dark. So first thing we can do is, you know, you can join an organization like PALS so you can get that information, because we can't do anything if we don't know anything. If we don't know what's happening, how can we do something to help?
Now, I understand I got a notice from my school not too long ago about the Vergara decision and mm-hmm. what a landmark decision that was. And I understand that that school was informed by the work that you're doing at PAL.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, good. Wow.
We're so glad
Fantastic.
To hear that.
Yes. So they received the information from you, and you brought it to them, and you were an advocate to them. So that trickle-down theory is really happening with respect to what you all are endeavoring to do. And
great.
And it sounds like it's working.
Well, they must be on our email list.
We've noticed that parents like to talk about school. I mean, that's what we do. We go to the park with other parents, and what do we always talk about? School. What teacher did you have this year? You know, how was your school year?
I think they're not talking about school. I think they're having therapy about school, which is a really big and important distinction, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So at Parents Advocate League, what we're doing is we're going to those school board meetings. We're either speaking on behalf of parents, but we're also informing the public of what's happening. So, for example, you know, the public didn't know that school districts weren't sending those letters to parents, letting them know that they had school choice options. So we are sitting in the audience hoping to keep them accountable and letting the public know really what's happening and encouraging families to write a letter to your school board member. We'll tell you what's happening. Go ahead and write a letter to your school board member. We even have a link on our website, which is viewed quite a bit, called How to Speak at a School Board Meeting. Because I remember the first time I spoke at a school board meeting, I was terrified. I didn't know what are the rules. You know, there's so much that goes on. So parents can be intimidated by speaking at a school board meeting. So we encourage them to attend meetings, speak at school board meetings, write an email. But if you don't have time to attend every school board meeting, we understand. So that's what we do, is we inform the parents about what's happening.
So how many school board meetings are you all attending?
Boy.
Oh, so many.
So many, but we're also looking for PALS that would like to attend school board meetings in their area and want to help keep the public, you know, informed on what's happening.
So again, if you're interested in joining, you can text to the number 22828, the words in capital, join PAL, and that would help you join. Or like you said, go to the website, parentsadvocateleague.org. What are some of the national or statewide things that we should be aware of, those real hot buttons that might get the fire burning in some people out there listening today?
I think right now the biggest shakeup, like we already mentioned, was the Vergara trial. I would encourage parents to continue following that trial and see what's going on. Right now, the state is waiting to hear parents are basically waiting to hear if the state is going to appeal the decision. Everyone's kind of waiting for that to see what's going to happen and how far that's going to go. But that's definitely a hot button statewide and nationally. Statewide, we do focus on the state of California with the policies. I have to say, every policy decision that has been made, that will be made, that is being considered currently, every education policy decision affects every child. And when we're asking parents, you know, if they would like to join us, if they want to check it out, Parents Advocate League, we also, we're not just focusing on parents that are having a hard time. We also think it's important for parents that have an easy, their kids are doing very well in school. It needs to be all parents coming together in the best interest of every child, whether they're, no matter what zip code, whether they're, whatever their ability is, we need all parents coming together for all children.
You know, one thing that we recognize is that Common Core, whether you love Common Core, whether you hate Common Core, the fact of the matter is nobody saw Common Core coming. All of us parents looked at each other and said, wait, what's happening? I mean, did you know about Common Core until it literally was in your classroom at your school? Mm-hmm. And so that's the perfect example of, if we're asleep at the wheel, this is what happens. Whether you love it or hate it, why didn't we have a say in it? Why were we completely caught off guard with such an enormous decision? So these decisions are made every year. There's bills that come in that if parents are not paying attention, then bills are voted on that will directly affect your children.
And moreover, directly affect the future of our society and our communities.
Absolutely.
What are some of the wider impacts? Can you speak to those, of some of the decisions that are coming down now, or some of the ones that were made a while ago that impacted us in a negative way that we're just seeing the results of?
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really realize is that they have changed the makeup of the SATs in America. Some might call it dumbing down, but they have kind of reduced the severity of the difficult questions in order to accommodate, you know, students that are not achieving at a higher level. So that's something that can affect America, even on a global level. When compared to other countries, America is not doing so well academically. And when your child, you probably don't realize it until your child is applying to college and competing with students throughout the world. And you realize, wait, my child is not really at the same level as a child from India or a child from Korea or China.
And they may not get into college because of it, too.
Exactly.
Because our universities are so well respected, they're attracting students from all over the
Absolutely.
World as well.
Absolutely. We have noticed that we're not competing globally. And not only are we ranked low globally academically, but California as a state is then ranked 47th.
45th.
Well, it kind of changes every year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not doing well. So to say that our nation is not doing well globally and then our state is 45th of a nation that is not doing well globally says what bad shape we're really in. So
California is 45 of our 50 states.
Yes.
And
America
is 45.
Right. And then when you're comparing America to high school students that take this test globally, in reading, America is ranked 17th globally. In math, America is ranked 21st, and in science, America is ranked 26th. And math and science is the future. So if our children are being failed, not only in California, but in America, we have a serious problem on our hands, and we really need to work together as parents and make sure our voice is heard for all of our kids.
And there are those up in Sacramento that are trying to make changes. They're writing
yes.
those bills and they see the need for change.
Bipartisan, by the way.
Absolutely. And then there are those that absolutely do not want anything to change.
I meant nonpartisan.
Yes.
Oh, you should say bipartisan, right?
Yeah. Okay. I meant nonpartisan.
So yeah, nonpartisan efforts to really improve education in California. And yet there is a group that says, nope, we like things just the way they are. And so it's been a tough road to make changes. So the more parents that get involved and the louder our voices are, the faster we can make those changes.
And that's another reason why we started Parents Advocate League. We recognize that what's missing in education is the parent voice. We have to get loud, we have to be uncomfortable, and we have to work together.
So when you're being the loudest that you want to be, what, if you could tell me what that real strong message you want to send is, what is it?
Well, you know, our motto is parents helping parents and their children succeed. So we feel that really if parents want to help parents, we have to join together, we have to stay informed, we have to Get out and vote. I hate to sound like my mother, but you know,
you do. Sorry.
But really, if we're not paying attention to who's running for school board, who's running for city council, these people typically end up being in the state assembly and the state senate, and they're on the education committees and they're writing these laws, and we have no idea what's happening or who we voted for because we didn't vote. So I encourage them to pay attention to those issues too.
What do you see with the ones that don't want to see anything change? What are you seeing is the is there overriding resistance to the change? Can you tell? Can you talk about what that might be?
Well, I think you're referring to the status quo of education.
Yeah.
And they've just had such a stronghold, both politically and financially. And so it's definitely a beast that we need to kind of tame and work together with everyone. No one's saying get rid of teachers' unions. No one's saying that. We're just saying, how can we work together? Because the way things are going is our children are being failed statewide throughout America. We need to work together. We need to change this. The focus needs to shift from status quo to students.
Absolutely.
So if you're seeing, so do you have parents, or I'm sorry, do you have teachers like yourselves that are part of Parents Advocate League?
Absolutely. We have teachers, we have grandparents, we have some legislators are part of it and want to be informed. It just kind of runs the gamut. We have some students that are part of it.
Have you grown to a place where you're starting to feel like you might be a bit controversial and people are watching you to see what's happening and yeah. to use you as maybe a pulse for what the people are feeling?
You wouldn't think wanting what's best for students and improving education in California would be controversial, but yes, it is.
Yes, it apparently is. Apparently it is. That's why we still have to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're very brave. Very brave. So, okay, so we're drawing down on our time. We have about 4 to 5 minutes left to keep talking about this issue. What is the most effective way somebody could turn to their environment? And I loved how much you said it didn't matter whether your student was performing well or not, because I would imagine that many of us that have come to the charter school movement, and this is maybe a possible misunderstanding of the charter school movement, that parents went there because their kids weren't doing well, so it was maybe a dumping ground for the kids that were low performers.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't had that experience mm-hmm. at all. I maybe sought it out for one child that needed a little something extra special, but it served my child that was off the charts, you know, testing off the charts. It served him well as well. So it was interesting to me how just taking a deep breath and not following the status quo and letting these kids explore education and maybe some different modalities that are out there. By the way, you have some excellent choices in Orange County for charter schools. I can rattle off 5 or 6 right now. Can you?
Well, actually, in Orange County, it's interesting you say that. There are 14 or 15 charter schools in Orange County. L.A. County has around 200. I'm sorry.
Oh.
L.A. County has more like 300. LAUSD, just that one school district, has 200. So really, we're in the dark ages in Orange County. We have 501,000 students being served in Orange County and only 14 or 15 charter schools. So
there
really
needs to be greater choice.
We have
in
very
County.
Little choice in Orange County. And I think that the misconception is, well, our schools are so good in Orange County, we don't need any more choice. But that's actually not true, because as we discussed, that while you may have a good school, it might not be the right school for your unique child. And parents value choice. And if we want to have those choices, we need to understand the myths about charter schools, that charter schools are public schools, that the money follows the child. This is your choice. So understanding those, you know, that charter schools are free public education and offers parents choices is really important. And then we can protect those choices and we can actually advocate for more of those in Orange County.
And by the way, charter schools, one of the big myths is that they cherry pick. Charter schools have to follow the law. Every child is welcome at a charter school. They do not cherry pick.
Cherry pick, by that you mean picking out the best students,
yes,
that will shine academically on the school.
Yes.
Yeah. I would actually say it probably errs on the other way, because parents that would even seek out a choice are seeking out a choice because of some adversity they're experiencing, right?
Correct. If the neighborhood school isn't working for them, then they're going to try something else. And charter schools can accept students from all over California. And if they are at capacity, they have to have a lottery. So it's just like, you know, picking a name out of a bingo wheel where it's they're certainly not cherry picked. It's a public lottery where everyone can see it. And they do accept students that have special needs, that have the individualized education plans. So there's, you know, so many myths that say, oh, they don't accept students with special needs. That's not true. And or they'll say that they're private. That's not true. They're public. So, you know, it's definitely a good option for families. And they do charter schools. Really, the intent of charter schools was to encourage a healthy competition with the public school to try to raise the bar in education, to be innovative.
Do you think it has done that in some part? Raise the bar?
I think for some schools it has. Definitely.
I don't know. I would disagree. Maybe just because it hasn't done what I've hoped it has would do since the 90s. Maybe it's just too soon to see, but
it hasn't done enough, but there are some that
it seems to be like a stronghold that some people really just do not want to change. So the charter schools in the area that are doing well, you would think other schools would look at that and say, well, what are they doing and how can we do it differently? And I think some, you know, will look at that and others won't. So I'd like to see more of that, the innovation at charter schools spreading to others.
Yes.
So I'm going to give that website out again. It's parentsadvocateleague.org. And you can Twitter them at Parent Pals for Students. And you can even join them by going online to parentsadvocateleague.org or a simple text to 22828. And you type in there, join PAL, if you want to join this coalition. What are the long-term goals for the organization?
Our long-term goals is to definitely be another alternative for parents to seek information and resources and join together as a coalition of parents, of educators, and other organizations working together for the kids.
We'd like to have decision makers see parents as a real voice and really listen to what the parents want and what's best for students.
Good. Ladies, I'd ask you to keep up the good work, but I don't think you need my request to do so. It's been an absolute pleasure joining me for this hour here at Real People OC. Keep up the good work and check in with us from time to time and let us know how things are going.
Sure. Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm so glad you made it down to the studio today. Okay, so that was a great hour we had discussing parentsadvocateleague.org and joining PAL. If you're interested in this topic, would certainly get you some education on an ongoing basis. So I'm actually subbing for Matt Kaplan tonight. And so up next is Counterspin. And then after that is going to be Planetary Radio. And I will be facilitating those shows for you tonight. So come back and join us next week. And we look forward to having you here.